Today's scripture from the Old Testament, Isaiah 66, 12 to 13. For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealthy of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and be carried on her arm and bounced on her knees. As a mother confronts her child, so I will confront you. You shall be confronted in Jerusalem. The second reading is from the New Testament, and it is John 14, 15 to 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On the day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you, they who have my, they who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by, I will love them and reveal myself to them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. A woman had promised to bake a cake for the church bake sale, and she totally forgot until the morning of the sale. So panicked, she threw together an angel food cake, but the center caved in. So searching for some way to salvage the cake, and Elaine, I know you would never do this because you would never have an angel food cake that would fall, but searching around to find some way to salvage the cake, she stuffed a roll of toilet paper in the middle and covered it with a lot of frosting. I mean, it looked perfect. No one would have ever guessed. So she dropped the cake off at the sale. Now, she was determined to get it back before somebody else bought it. And she instructed her daughter to purchase it so no one would find out. Well, unfortunately, by the time her daughter arrived, the cake was gone, and the poor woman just hoped it had been bought by a total stranger who wouldn't know that she was the one who donated it, such a monstrosity. That, and she began to calculate whether or not she was going to need to move. Well, the next day, she attended a church women's meeting at the parsonage. And at the close of the meeting, the pastor's wife invited them into the dining room for refreshments. And the woman was shocked to see her cake proudly displayed on a crystal cake stand in the center of the table. Well, at that point, she was just hoping the earth would open and swallow her whole. She didn't know if she should stay and act calm or make a mad dash out the door. But she was preparing herself to be mortified. And as the pastor's wife poised the knife over the cake, "What a lovely cake!" And the pastor's wife beamed and said, "Thank you, I baked it myself." That's one of my favorite stories because I can so see that happening. I'd like you to take a few moments and think about the mothers you have seen depicted on television. Who would you think or consider to be one of the best moms on TV? You can shout them out. Beaver's mother, June Cleaver, with the pearl necklace. Who? Carol? Bro, Carol Brady, the Brady Bunch. Yes, thank you. And by the way, happy birthday. Who else? How about Claire Huxtable? Oh, the mother from the Waltons. I'd forgotten her. Livy. How about Elise Keaton on Family Ties? Or Lorelai Gilmore on The Gilmore Girls? Timmy's mom from Lassie. Marge Simpson, yes. Actually, she did make the top 10 list of TV mothers. I'm not kidding. How about Sophia Petrello from The Golden Girls? Sophia. Ruth Fisher from 6 Feet Under. She was great. And then, of course, Marion Cunningham from Happy Days. Now, who would you think as the worst mothers on TV? This ought to be interesting. Shout them out. Roseanne Barr, excellent. Oh, I hadn't thought of her, but yes. Who else? How about Lois from Malcolm in the Middle? Or Claire Matthews from The Following? Peggy Bundy. Do you know Peggy made the best mom list? I was stunned. I was absolutely stunned. Lucille Ball. Well, as much as I loved the character and Maggie Smith's portrayal of the Dowager Countess from Downton Abbey, she really wasn't a cousin. She was very negligent. Well, on this Mother's Day, I would like to lift up maternal metaphors for God in the Bible. And a number of those can be found in the book of Isaiah. One striking example is Isaiah 66, verse 13. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. So let's jump back real quick to that list of TV moms. One way to decide, I think, on which list these TV mothers belong, best mom or worst mom, is to answer two questions. If you were hurting emotionally, to which of these mothers would you go for comfort? Or to which of these mothers would you not go for comfort? If you stopped 100 people on the street and asked them to describe God or what God looks like, many would use the word Father. And they may even describe the stereotypical vision of God as an old man with a beard sitting on a throne. Our language in Scripture encourages this outlook by usually referring to God as He. And this is in part due to the patriarchal society in which it was written and the lost nuances of translating Scripture from the original manuscripts where gender could be neutral and is often used. However, since we believe that God is spirit, the concept of gender is irrelevant. God is everything. Well, our text today from Isaiah 66 and the use of the maternal imagery of God speaks to the generation of Israelites who have returned from the Babylonian exile to the ruins of Jerusalem. God says that the God of Israel is like a mother you can turn to. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. This verse from Isaiah 66 and others recognize that in God, the paternal and the maternal are both present. And this is perhaps emphasized in one of the names used for God in the Old Testament, El Shaddai, which first appears in the 17th chapter of Genesis when God tells Abram and Sarai that they are to have a son. How do we translate this, or translate El Shaddai, as God Almighty? But scholars say that's just an educated guess at its meaning. The El part of the name is the shortened form of Elohim, which means God. But Shaddai is probably derived from the Hebrew word shad, which is invariably used in Scripture for a woman's breast, the place where a child is cuddled and nurtured and nursed. And thus the name may be a nod to the maternal side of God's nature. What's more, God's comfort is a strong theme in the Bible. Portions of two prophetic books, Isaiah chapters 40 to 55 and Jeremiah chapters 30 and 31, are often described as books of comfort. But the theme of God as comforter isn't limited to those texts. We hear it in many of the Psalms, including Psalm 23, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And in the New Testament, Paul speaks as God as the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation, who consoles us in all our affliction. And Revelation speaks of a final consolation for the people of God. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. But the imagery here in Isaiah 66 communicates especially well. God comforts like a good mother comforts her child. And I'm not saying that fathers don't provide comfort. I'm not saying that at all, because we know differently. We know fathers provide comfort. And children need the tender love of a father every bit as much as a mother's. But we also know that when push comes to shove, when a knee is scraped or a hope dashed, children often will run first to their mother, sometimes holding back tears until they are in those arms. Having said that, we should note that in the Isaiah 66 verse, God was speaking and promising comfort to the grown-ups. The hurts of childhood are fleeting, and often a hug and a few tender words are sufficient to supply the comfort needed. But the hurts of adulthood, the pain of loss, worry of the human condition are another matter. And for those we might long for comfort and help as effective as that which we found from our mothers in our early years. That is why all mothers know that comforting a child doesn't end when they go off to high school or to college, or even when they marry and have children of their own. It never ends. But how exactly does God comfort us? Well, for one, God comforts us through the presence, care, and verbal encouragement of other Christians. While there are some Christians who are especially good at that, who have good listening skills and sensitivity, encouragement is something that all of us can do. One definition of comfort is to stand alongside to lend support and encouragement when the situation cannot be changed. This is something most of us can do for others. And such standing alongside often helps those dealing with that which cannot be changed to cope with the situation as it is. And secondly, God sometimes comforts us more directly. The psalmist says, "When my anxieties multiply, your comforting calms me down." Interestingly, the verse is from Psalm 94, which bemoans the injustices of life and the arrogance of evildoers who seem to get away with their deeds. But the psalmist finds comfort in the confidence that God reigns and will deal with the inequities and the miscreants in God's own time. This is why the writer can say, "Who rises up for me against the wicked? Who stands up for me against evildoers? If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have lived in the land of silence. When I thought my foot is slipping, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up." How God delivers comfort will vary, but it sometimes comes while we are in prayer. It is sometimes transmitted through a verse or a passage that just kind of jumps out at us while reading the Bible. Or it might come over us as inner assurance in the midst of grief or trouble. Many of us can remember how our mothers comfort. And on this day, some of us still have mothers we can call or mothers to whom we can say. We are grateful for our mothers. We are thankful for their enduring and unconditional love. And we are glad that when we were children, we had mothers to whom we could run for comfort. But there are some who did not have such a mother, who lost a mother while young in life, or whose experience does not align with God's description of a mother who comforts a child. And this is something you would not wish on any child. You don't want children to have a sense of loss. So even the absence of such comforting presence reinforces, in a way, the reality of it and its power. Intuitively, whatever our experience, we understand the concept of a mother's comfort. And God uses this metaphor to help us understand how God relates to us. And so on Mother's Day, we can be thankful for our earthly mothers, and we are grateful to God for the comfort offered us today. If we feel a loss, or if our hearts are swelling with love, God's word to us doesn't leave too much room for misunderstanding. God says, "I will comfort you." Let's allow God to encircle us with the arms of love and mercy. Let's feel the presence, the comforting presence of the Almighty. Let's submit to the gentle touch and embrace of God as we are led through the rough patches of life. Let's relax and stop resisting God's firm and persistent efforts to draw us into the comfort of the divine presence. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.